It's not that easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves.
What is green? Wikipedia tells me that it's a synonym of environmentally friendly, used to refer to goods and services, laws, guidelines, and policies considered to inflict minimal or no harm to the environment. But what does green even mean to me? How can I be green? Am I green?
Being green. It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things.
I think we're at a point right now where green is certainly mainstreamed, and as things become mainstream, they kind of become meaningless. And so there's definitely a sense in which the phrase green is kind of meaningless. It doesn't really mean much anymore. That said, it's a nice catch-all phrase to get into the conversation of deeper issues, sustainability, energy efficiency. You can use the sort of the catch-all umbrella phrase of green.
The word green may be meaningless, but for someone like me who's interested in helping the environment and being green, what it comes down to is deciding which companies to give my money to. Since companies constantly bombard me with marketing messages claiming to be green, it's hard to tell who's authentic and who's not. In a park in Portland, Maine, I met with John Rooks, president of the Soap Group, a marketing firm devoted to the concepts of sustainability and social justice. That does what some might call green marketing.
One thing that I think that companies miss an opportunity in is not necessarily with green, but is with authenticity and being real about what they're talking about. Once we have authentic communications, greenwashing is impossible.
For me, greenwashing is when companies market themselves as greener than they really are. It's confusing. Greenwashing examples surround me. From the Sierra Club partnering with Clorox's GreenWorks campaign to BP, greenwashing is everywhere I look.
100% of their marketing and their brand was around this concept of alternative energy sources. I mean, they went from British Petroleum to Beyond Petroleum. So that's an example where 100% of their brand was talking about alternative energy sources, but only probably less than 5% of their business was in the alternative energy space. So that's probably the classic example of the worst case of greenwashing.
However, a number of companies are green, many for reasons having little to do with saving the environment. It has to do with efficiency, sustainability, and profits.
For all the bad that Walmart does in the world, you know, there's a lot of people that rely on those low prices, and they're taking on health care. And they, you know, and so if price is the issue, they're a great solution. Their sustainability initiatives have been absolutely amazing. They've done amazing, amazing things from a sustainability perspective, and they've done it very authentically because they don't greenwash. I think they've got a very, very light green campaign going on at the store level, but they don't gauge their consumer in sustainability. One, their consumer probably doesn't want it, and two, their consumer might not care. And three, they start talking about reducing the footprint of their building, the physical footprint of their building by 6%. They're doing it to save money, not to protect wildlife or anything like that. And they don't pretend. You know, they've said that. They say, we're doing all these sustainability initiatives because it saves our customers money. And that authenticity, I think, is the answer. I really, really think authenticity is the answer.
And now we're talking about consumption, the backbone of America's economy. We live in a society where we have easy, cheap access to more stuff than anywhere else in the world. We're constantly feeding our consumption addiction, for example, by going to Walmart, where they have everything we could possibly want and it's all cheap. Will future generations even recognize us?
So we went back and we looked at George Romero's first of the Dawn of the Dead, the Dawn of trilogies, which was, I think, 78. What Romero said that he wanted to do was he wanted to make a zombie movie every 10 years that reflected the culture, and that one was reflecting consumer culture. So in the movie, the survivors after the zombie apocalypse end up at a mall, And there's this great sort of pastoral scene where they're safe in the mall, the zombies are trying to get in, and they're just shopping, right? And they figure, oh, we can live here forever, right? So it becomes sort of a nice sort of trope to sort of understand, oh, look, we can't just live here forever and keep shopping. But at the same time, there's this great scene where they're on top of the mall, and they're looking out, and they see all the zombies trying to get in. And one of the women says, Francine says, why did they come here? You know, why are the zombies coming here of all places? And the guy says, it's what they did. It's just what they know. And I think that's a great sort of metaphor. Like, that's what we do, is we consume, right? And we just keep consuming and keep consuming and keep consuming. And so we use that a lot to talk about it. And we came up with this term called zombie consumerism, which is just that. It's consuming without thinking, which is exactly what zombies do.
Given that I'm a consumer and I'm interested in helping the environment and being green, where does this leave me? What does a green consumer look like, and does it even exist? Does it come down to substantially cutting my consumption? Most people will feel good about themselves because they buy from companies they perceive to be green. Well, for me, maybe it's about consuming less.
So it comes back, I feel, to the consumer. Ian McKay, frontman for Fugazi. I don't remember the name of the song, but he says, it's not what you're selling, it's what you're buying. And I think it comes down to that.
For Blunt Youth Radio, this is Isaac Woodbury High.